Today we're studying Perek Gimel of Sefer Yirmiyahu. Our series is in conjunction with the OU and its Nachyomi project, and sponsored with the help of the Cyprus Foundation. Perek Gimel begins in a rather strange way with the word Lemor. We'll read the first pasuk. Lemor, Hen yishalach ish et ishto, v'alcham mito v'ayta li'ish acher, ha'yishuv eleha od, ha'lochanof technaf ha'aretz ahi, v'at zanit ra'im rabim v'shov elaynu mashem. Before we translate this pasuk, phrase by phrase, we need to first try to explain this analogy, which the Nevi'im use over and over again. It's very difficult to describe a relationship between God and a people. And therefore, to describe that relationship, the Torah uses several analogies. The one which is found most often in Chumash is a relationship between a parent and a child, or what Sefer Dvarim calls Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem. But a relationship between a father and a child is an eternal one. No matter how bad the child is, the son is always the child of the parent. There's another analogy, becomes very popular in Nevi'im, especially in Nevi'im Achronim. We saw it in Hosea. We see it now also in Sefer Yirmiyahu, where the Navi compares the relationship between God and his people to the relationship between a husband and a wife. That relationship is much more intense, maybe much more powerful. On the other hand, a husband-wife relationship brings up the possibility of separation and divorce. There are many times when a parent gets angry at a child, and rightly so, but nonetheless, rarely are we going to find a parent totally abandoning a child. On the other hand, in a love relationship, we find very intense relationships, but sometimes the anger when that relationship is broken could be one not only of separation, but a total cutoff similar to divorce. So let's look at this pasuk here in the beginning of Perek Gimel, and we're going to see how the end of the pasuk can be read in one of two different ways. Hein yishalach ish et ishto, if a person sends his wife away, and she went, v'alcham mito v'aytad ish acher, and then she went and went with another man, hayashuv eleha od, would the original husband bring his wife back? Halo chanof technaf ha'aretz ahi. If there's a land like that, which is basically like wife swapping, a land like that would be defiled. So how could someone expect a wife who left her husband and went with someone else, why would her original husband come and want her back? Then the Navi continues, v'at, you the people of Israel, zanit reim rabim, have gone after many other husbands. Then the pasuk ends, v'shov elaynu mashem, which we read two ways. It can be asked as a question, and now you want to return to me? Or, other commentators explain it as a command. Nonetheless, v'shov elaynu mashem, or you must return. In other words, it's quite unclear whether this pasuk is asking a question, is it possible at all that God would allow his people to return to him after they've left him for so many other gods and so many other idols? Or is God saying, even though in a normal case of a relationship like ours, the original husband would not want his wife to come back, God saying, I'm different and I'm commanding you to return to me, even though you've gone after other gods. Rashi, for example, understands it as a command. Despite this, afapichen, nonetheless, I want you to return to me. Most English translations turn into a question, that, and do you think you can return to me? That ambiguity, which I think is intentional, we're going to see how it's going to play itself out as the parak continues. There's no doubt that God is going to be calling upon his people to return, but the question is going to be, why is Navi beginning with this analogy of a relationship between a husband and a wife who has gone with other men? Pasuk bet, Tzi'ei naich al shfa'im, lift up your eyes to the high places. Uri, Efu lo shuchaft al drachim yashaft lehem karavi bamidbar. Show me a place where you haven't slept with someone, even on the highways, in hidden places. V'tachnifi eretz, you've defiled the land, v'znutaych uvrahatech, with your harlotry and with your bad deeds. In Pasuk Gimel, the Navi is going to explain how God punished you for this, and you didn't get the message. V'aymanu revivim, I held back the rain because of your behavior. U'makosh lo haya, Jehovah has the early rain, and makosh is the later rain. Instead, the Navi says, U'metzach isha zonah hayalach, you had the forehead of a harlot. Me'anti kalem, you weren't even embarrassed. God punished you, and you couldn't care less. Halomiata, but now something is changing. Now God's saying, Karat li avi, now you're calling me daddy? Aluf nurayata, you are the companion of my youth? Hayin tor lo olam, is God going to be angry forever, you're saying? Im yishmor lenetzach, he won't be angry at me forever, will he? And then the Navi answers, Hinei dibart, you said that, v'tasi harot v'tuchal, but you continue to do bad. Here we have two analogies mixed into one. The Navi is comparing Am Yisrael to an unfaithful wife, and Am Yisrael is saying back to God, I'm your son, I'm your child. And for sure, God will never keep his anger forever. God is comparing Am Yisrael to a spoiled child who knows no matter how bad he is, his daddy's always going to come and help him out anyhow, knowing he can't be angry at me forever. And therefore they're saying, Hayin Tor Lo'olam, God won't be angry at me forever. And the Navi's complaining, you're saying these things, but you continue to do these bad deeds. One more line in Yirmiyahu now, and then we'll get to the background to explain what's happening. Vayom Hashem Elai b'mei Yoshiyahu HaMelech, Hara'ita, Asher Asta Meshuva Yisrael, Hachahi Alko Har Gvoha, Veltachat Ko Eitz Ra'anan, Vatiz Nisham. Did you see what Meshuva Yisrael did? There's going to be two names here for Am Yisrael. One will be Meshuva Yisrael, referring to the tribes of the north, the 10 tribes. The people in Yehuda are going to be called Bogeda Yehuda. Now, the word Meshuva sounds like repentance, but that's not what it means here in Hebrew. There's a word in Hebrew, Shovav. I'll give you an example. In modern day Hebrew, Dennis the Menace is known as Dani Shovavani. A Shovav is a mischievous child, getting into trouble all the time, and he's calling Am Yisrael Meshuva Yisrael. What did the tribes of the north do? They went after every high mountain, and after every big tree, and they followed all these other gods, again comparing it to Znut, comparing it to harlotry. V'omar, and then God said, Acharei Asota et Ko Ele, Elai Toshuv V'lo Shava. After she did all these things, I called upon them, return to me. V'lo Shava, but she didn't return. He's referring to the Nevuot of Hosea, Amos, Micha, all the Nevim who talked to the tribes of the north. I sent my Nevim to you to get you to return, but you did not return. V'tera begoda achota Yehuda. Who saw all this? Her sister. And now the Navi is going to explain in the next pasuk why he refers to Yehuda with this name. Vere, ki al ko odot asher niafam meshuva Yisrael, she lechtia, v'tein et sefer krututea eleha. What did Yehuda see? All the things that God did to Meshuva Yisrael, God sent her out and gave her a divorce. V'lo yara bogeda Yehuda achota, v'teilech v'tizim gamhi. Bogeda Yehuda saw everything happening to the northern tribes and how they were punished, and what they witnessed did not affect them at all, and Yehuda didn't learn a lesson from what happened to them. Yehuda continued in these ways of znut and bowed down to stones and to wood. The Navi continues and says, V'gam b'chol zot, despite all this, lo shav elai b'goda achota Yehuda b'chol liba, kim b'sheker nim Hashem. Despite all this, when Yehuda is returning to God, it's not with a full heart. So what's going on here? Is Am Yisrael worshipping other gods? Or are they doing tshuva? Are they returning to God? It's very unclear. Let's take a look now at the historical setting that we're in. In our opening shir, we read from Divrei Hayamim in Perek Lamed Aleph. Yirmiyahu is beginning his career when, in essence, the nation of Yehuda, who's remained in its land, as opposed to the 10 tribes who have gone into exile, is now beginning a movement of repentance, much better than we ever saw before. Remember, we went through some 50 years of Menashe when things were very bad, and 2 years of Amon in the early years of Yoshiel when he was still a young lad, and other people running the country. Over the last several decades, Am Yisrael's relationship with God was very strained. And now Yoshiyahu is beginning this movement of tshuva. What's Yirmiyahu coming telling the people? The tshuva that you're doing is phony. And that's what we're going to see in these prakim, in this section of Yirmiyahu, which is referring to the early years of Yoshiyahu, most likely the first 6 years of this tshuva movement, from the 12th year of Yoshiyahu until the 18th year of Yoshiyahu. We're going to see how the Navi is rebuking a people who claims to be doing tshuva, even though they're really not doing tshuva. The tshuva is not deep enough, it's not sincere enough. With that background, let's go back and try to understand what we saw in the beginning of the parak. The people are saying, we're returning to God. And God is saying, does it make sense logically that a wife who abandoned her husband, would her original husband want her back? And the question is, if God does want his people back, why use that analogy? That would seem to say, we don't want you back, but God does want his people back. On the other hand, that analogy is very powerful, because let's say the husband does want his wife back. Under what condition would he want her back? Only if she returns with a full allegiance and she recognizes her sin, recognizes what she had done wrong, and now is willing to dedicate herself totally back to her original husband. I mean, there's a possibility that the original husband would want his wife back, but the amount of tshuva, the amount of repentance that would be required to make that return possible is much more than you expect from a son returning to his father. The Navi is saying, you want to return to God? Get your act together. Superficial tshuva will not be enough. I need a total turnaround of character. I need a total understanding of what was wrong. I need a total commitment now. They're going to be better. That's precisely the situation in the early years of Yoshiyahu, especially in the early years of Yirmiyahu's career. Remember from Parak Aleph, Yirmiyahu began his career in year 13 of Yoshio, which is exactly when this Tshuvah movement begins. And now we're going to see these ideas as we continue now with Pasuk Yud Aleph with verse 11. V'yomer Hashem Elai, Tzidka nafsha m'shuvah Yisrael mibogeda Yehuda. God's saying something very powerful here. He's saying the 10 tribes now are in a better situation than Yehuda. Why? The people of Yehuda witnessed what happened to the 10 tribes. They saw them go into exile and they didn't learn a lesson from that. The people of the 10 tribes had no one to learn from beforehand. They were the first group that went into exile. Therefore, God's saying, almost as a Kal Vachomer, if I'm giving Yehuda another chance, I also have to give Yisrael another chance. And now we're going to have a call by the Navi to the 10 tribes to return from their exile and return now back to the land of Israel. This is very interesting because most people don't realize that there was a movement of Shivat Zion, there was a return to Zion, even during the First Temple period. In other words, we always think that we go into exile at the end of the First Temple period and we return from exile in the beginning of the Second Temple period. But if you look carefully in Yirmiyahu, there was a return of the 10 tribes during the reign of Yoshiel. Historically, this makes a lot of sense because it was Ashur, it was the empire of Assyria that exiled the 10 tribes. And now the Assyrian empire is falling. Nineveh is about to be defeated. And because Ashur's power is waning, nations that were sent into exile now have an ability to return to their homelands. It's not an official policy, like we'll see later on in the time of Koresh. However, there's an opportunity now for Am Yisrael to return to its land. When that opportunity begins, the question is, what do the people in those other lands think? Does God want me back? If I take the analogy of a husband and a wife, especially the way the Navi presents it, the people might think God doesn't want us back. Maybe God will never accept us again, like a husband won't accept a wife who's cheated on him. However, a father will always want his child to come back. The Navi's going to say, God is willing to bring you back, even though you've gone after other gods, even though I punish you so harshly, there's still a chance to return, but when you return this time, it better be sincere. Pasuk Yud Bet. Haloch v'karata tadvarim ha'ele tzafona. Go call out these words that I feel sorry for Meshuvah Yisrael, who've been in exile for too long. V'yamarta, say to them, Shuvah Meshuvah Yisrael, return to me, O rebellious Israel, Num Hashem. Lo apir panai bechem, I won't hold my face back from you. I'll accept you. Ki chasid ani, Num Hashem. I will be kind, God's saying, and I won't keep my anger forever. And now we understand the opening section of Perek Gimel, how it relates to what we were talking about. This analogy of a husband not wanting his wife who cheated on him back may lead Am Yisrael to think God doesn't want us back. The Navi has to explain, despite all that, I want you to return. However, as we see in the next Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Achdi Avonech, know your sin, understand what you've done wrong. Ki Bashem Elohaich Pashat. You've sinned against your own God. You went after all these other gods in all these different ways. Under every big tree. You didn't listen to me. You deserve a terrible punishment. You got what you deserved. But don't interpret that the relationship is gone forever. If you understand your sin, if you're willing to return with a full commitment, then I'm willing to take you back. Now in Pasuk Yedalad, in verse 14, the Navi gives a famous call to the 10 tribes who are returning. Shuvu vanim shavavim num Hashem. Return to me, O rebellious children, God is saying. Ki onochi ba'alti vachem. The translation of this phrase is very tricky. First of all, does the word ki mean because or even though? But that depends on what ba'alti vachem means. Ba'alti vachem might mean, I want you back so much like a husband wants his wife. A ba'al is another name for a husband. And again, we go to our analogy. The original husband wants his wife back so much that the Navi is saying, because I want to be with you again. Or Ba'alti Bechem might be because I punished you. I was like your master. But even though I punished you, nonetheless return to me. Look in the various commentators, you'll see different directions. Based on either explanation, the pasuk continues and now explains how God is going to bring them back nonetheless. God's saying now, I'm going to bring you back even one from a city or two from a family and bring you to Tzion. This also could be understood in one of two ways. It could be saying, I'm only going to bring a couple of you back, only one from a city and two from a family. Or he might be saying, even if there's only one left in a city or two in a family, I'll bring them back. No matter who's there, I'll bring back. In Pasuk Tetvav, the Navi continues his promise that he's going to give Am Yisrael another chance to return to their land. This time he hopes that the leadership will be much better. V'natati lechem ro'im kelibi. This time I'll give them leaders that will follow the heart of God, Baru Etchem, they'll guide you, the Av HaSkil. They'll guide you in a way that you'll have knowledge and understanding of God, and with that proper understanding and knowledge of God, this redemption hopefully will be better. The next two psukim, we're going to read them first and then try to give a much more detailed explanation because they're quite difficult to understand. At that time, when you become fruitful and multiply in the land, people won't talk anymore about the Ark of God's Covenant. They won't remember, they won't think about it, it won't be done again. Why all of a sudden won't the Aron, which holds the Luchot HaBrit, why won't that be important? It's not understandable at first glance at all. Instead, the Navi continues in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ba'itahi, at that time when you return and everything is ideal, Yikru li Yerushalayim Kisei Hashem, Yerushalayim will be called the throne of God. V'nikvu elea kol ha'goyim l'shem Hashem l'Yerushalayim. There all the nations will gather for God's reputation and His fame in Yerushalayim. V'lo yechu od achri shrut libam hara. They won't follow anymore the bad ways of their heart. These two psukim are rather difficult to explain. You can look in the commentators and see various different directions. I'd like to suggest something which has to do with the very purpose of why God's bringing His people back to the land. Let's begin with Pasuk Yud Zayin, the latter part, where the Navi is explaining what his hope is for this return, that when Am Yisrael returns to Yerushalayim and things become ideal again, the city of Yerushalayim will be called the throne of God, and all nations will gather around it for the sake of God's reputation. And Am Yisrael, on the other hand, won't go after the whims of their heart anymore. Achrei shrut libam. That phrase, shrut lev, we find in Parshat Nitzavim. In Perek Chavtet in Sefer Dvarim, chapter 29, Pasuk Yudchet, we have that phrase of shrut lev, but the context there is about the possibility that someone in Am Yisrael could think that either they or their family or even their shevet could break out of this covenant between God and His people. Recall in Parshat Nitzavim, Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the people before his death and enters them one more time into the covenant. Laman hakim otcha hayom lo la'am v'hu yeh lecha l'Elohim kasher diber lach v'chasher nishba l'avotecha l'Avraham l'Yitzchak u'l'Yaakov. The reason why God is entering into this covenant with you, so that you'll be His nation, He'll be your God, as He spoke to you at Har Sinai, and as He promised your forefathers. Then He continues, Lo itchem levatchem anochi created the brit hazot, v'tala hazot. It's not only with this generation, ki et asher yeshno po imanu omed hayom, lifnei Hashem Eloheinu, v'et asher enenu po imanu hayom. This covenant is for all generations, not just this one, but for the eternity of the Jewish people. Then Moshe Rabbeinu continues with several warnings, one of them being, Pen yesh bachem ish o isha o mishpacha o shevet, should there be a family or a person, even an entire tribe, who says, I want to go on my own way. I want to follow possibly other gods. Asher levavo poneh hayom im Hashem Eloheinu. His heart now is turning away from God. Lelechet lavot et Elohei ha'goyim ha'im. He wants to serve other gods instead. Pen yesh bachem shoresh porei rosh v'lana. V'ya b'shamo divrei ha'ala zot. If he hears this covenant, he'll say to himself in his heart, Shalom yeli ki bishrut libi elech l'mat tzavot harava et atzmeya. Then God answers, Lo yaveh Hashem s'loach lo. I think Yirmiyahu here is referring to this psukim in Sefer Dvarim, where Am Yisrael might have entertained the possibility that they have an option of a covenant with the one God, with the real God, or if they want, they can follow other gods. And if we follow our covenant with this God, we have this reward and punishment, and these obligations, and these rewards, or maybe we can go to different gods. God explains in Parshat Nitzavim that that possibility doesn't exist, but later on he continues in Parshat Nitzavim, in what's called Parshat HaTshuva in Perek Lamed in chapter 30, says, when this comes to you, when this comes about, the blessing and the curse, and you're sent out of your land, ultimately, you'll return your heart to God in those nations. Take a look in the beginning of chapter 30 in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshat Nitzavim, but you see exactly this theme, that no matter how strained our relationship is with God, ultimately God is going to return His people back to the land. What I like to call, using this analogy of marriage, you could call Judaism a Catholic marriage, in the sense that there's no possibility of divorce. No matter how strained our relationship is, may end up being with God, even if we're sent into exile, even if we follow other gods, even if it happens decade after decade and generation after generation, ultimately, Am Yisrael will return to God and God will bring us back. Ideally, we should want to do that. Ideally, it should happen in a natural way. But if it doesn't, God will intervene in history and help bring us back. Here, the Navi is talking about the return of the exile, just like it was predicted in Parshat Nitzavim. And the Navi is saying, hopefully now, when this group returns, we won't have this problem again of Shvirut Lev. Instead, Am Yisrael will be a nation representing God. Yerushalayim will represent the seed of God. And Am Yisrael will be acting in an ideal way, like we saw in the prophecies of Yeshayahu, in Perek Bet, is Chazon Achrit Yamim, when he talked about all nations gathering to come up and learn the word of God from Yerushalayim, Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, to bring justice and righteousness to all nations. That was the hope of Yirmiyahu here as well. Let's go back now, in light of this, and try to understand Pasuk Tet Zayin. Vayaki Tibu Ufritem Ba'aretz Be'mim Ahema. When this comes true, and you multiply, become fruitful in the land, as God predicted, then it won't be said again, Lo Yomru Od Aron Brit Hashem, Lo Yale Olev. People won't be talking about the Aron, and they won't mention it and talk about it, etc. Instead, they'll be talking about Yerushalayim. One way to understand this is what's called Lozu Avzu. Not only will they be talking about the Aron, even better, they'll be talking about the Mikdash. Another way they might be saying is they won't talk about the Aron at all. Either way, I think the key of understanding this is to understand what Aron Brit Hashem is referring to. Aron Brit Hashem, we find over and over again in Sefer Bamidbar, for example, Vayhi Binso Aron. Here, the Aron seems to be in the context of going to war. Later on, in Sefer Yoshua, the Aron leads the war against the city of Yericho. We see there are several times where the Aron is a symbol of God in our battles against the other nations. There are also times when that symbol is misunderstood. We all remember the story in Sefer Shmuel, where in the time of Eli, in their battles against the Plishtim, they took the Aron in hope that the Aron will save them in battle. But if the context here is the Aron Brit Hashem is a symbol of God helping them in their battles against their enemies, what Yirmiyahu might be referring to here is that when you return, it won't be like the first time in the time period of Yeshua or in the desert, and we came to the land of Israel and we had a fight to conquer the land. It wasn't about wars and fighting. Instead, when we return this time, we won't be at war anymore with our enemies. We won't have any enemies. Instead of the other nations being our enemy, it will be other nations coming to the land of Israel to look for guidance. We like to call these two modes, the first mode of Aron Brit Hashem, we call that survival mode, where Am Yisrael is fighting for its very existence, as opposed to revival mode, when Am Yisrael is finally fulfilling the goal that God originally had for his people to bring his reputation to all mankind. So to summarize these two psukim, as Yirmiyahu was talking about his hopes for these returnees coming from exile, his hope is when they return, this time, it'll be much more of an ideal entry to the land of Israel. We won't have wars again with our enemies. Instead, Am Yisrael will understand its purpose. They'll know God. As he said, Deah v'haskel, they'll understand God properly. They'll keep his laws properly. And then the other nations won't be our enemies. Instead, they'll come and we'll be the source of guidance. We continue now with Pasuk Yud Chet. Notice there's a parsha break here. We start a slightly different topic. B'yimei Mahema, at that time, as Yirmiyahu was hoping, when Am Yisrael returns from exile, which he's hoping is going to happen very soon, Yahu Beit Yehuda al Beit Yisrael. The exiles from Yehuda will come together with the exiles from Israel. Remember, the tribes of Yehuda were exiled as well when Sancheriv came on his campaign several decades earlier. Ve'avo yachto me'eretz tzafon. They'll all come together from the lands in the north. Ala aretz asher inchalti et avotechem. Back to the land that I inherited to their forefathers. V'nochi amarti, I had said, Eich ashitech babanim. It's very difficult to translate this phrase. Eich means, how did I put you between the boys? Now, is God talking about how is it that I left you in exile among my other children? How could I put you among those nations and that's why I'm bringing you back? And therefore, Ve'etein lecha eretz chemda, therefore I've given you this wonderful land, Nachlat Tzvi, Tzipot Goyim, this beautiful, nice land among the nations. Ve'omar, and then I told you, Avi Tikrili, I brought you back and now I want you to call me daddy again. Mi'acharai lo toshuvi, and don't leave me again. Notice again this play between comparing Am Yisrael to a father-son relationship as opposed to a husband-wife relationship. And the reason why God's going to allow them to return, the answer to our opening question, how could it be that a husband would want his wife to return after she's abandoned him and followed other men instead? The answer is because we have the other analogy of our relationship, that God is also like a father to a child. And therefore, no matter how bad they've been, no matter how mischievous they've been, God will always be willing to bring them back. Another way to understand this, Echa Shitech Babanim, it could be that Am Yisrael is understood here as a daughter, and God's saying, I can't leave my daughter among all these different boys, and therefore I have to bring them back to their land. That could be another way of understanding Echa Shitech Babanim. Now, God's hoping that when they do return, this leaving of God has happened before, it won't happen again. Now consider me like your father, and don't leave me again. However, God says, in Pasachav, verse 20, Achein bagda isha mera. However, here the wife has not been loyal to her husband. Kain begadetem bi beit Yisrael. In the same way, you've been unloyal to me, the house of Israel. Nonetheless, I'm going to bring you back, and I hope that this time we'll get it right. Starting with Pasachav Aleph, we have a beautiful conversation that's going to take place between God and His people. So as we read these psukim, we have to pay attention to three different voices. One will be the voice of the narrator, which we'll see very soon. Then we have the voice of God, and we're also going to have the voice of the returnees returning to the land as God's bringing them back from exile. Let's begin with the narrator who begins Pasachav Aleph. Kol ashva'im nishma. The narrator saying, I hear voices high up from the mountains. B'chi tachnunei b'nei Yisrael. These are voices of crying tears and weeping voices of b'nei Yisrael who are returning from exile. Why are they crying? The narrator continues. Ki avu et arkam. They're crying because they've sinned. They've gone in a bad way. Shachu et Hashem Elohim. They forgot their God. They're realizing that, so they're crying. Now begins God's voice. God calls out, Shuvu banim shovavim. Return to me, O rebellious children. Erpa meshuvotechem. I'll accept your tshuva. In the middle of the pasuk, we have a change of voice again. Am Yisrael is now answering. Hinu otanu lach. Here, we're with you. Ki ata Hashem Eloheinu. Because you're our God. Notice this beautiful conversation between God and His people. God's calling out to His nation to return, and the people answer back, those who are returning, we're coming to you, because you're our God. God now responds. Pasach Av Gimel begins God's voice. Achein la-sheker migvo'ot hamon harim. God's saying, I hear something untruthful in these cryings from the mountains. God seems to be doubting the sincerity of this tshuva. Amiso answers, ideally this is how they should answer. Achein b'ashem Eloheinu tshuat Yisrael. The people answer back, no, it's with our God will be the salvation of Israel. And now they do proper tshuva. Here we, almost like Tachnun, here they repent properly. Our shame, the shame of our behavior, is what's caused so much trouble to our forefathers from the time of our youth to this day. Everything that they lost, their cattle and all their children, all that destruction that had happened is because of their sins. And therefore they continue the repentance and say, Nishkava bavoshtenu, we'll sleep with the shame. Utchasenu chlimatenu, our disgrace covers us. Ki lashem Eloheinu chatanu, because we've sinned terribly to God. Who sinned? Anachnu, ourselves, vavatenu, and our forefathers, minureinu ad hayom hazeh, from our youth to this day. V'lo shamanu b'kol Hashem Eloheinu. We didn't listen properly to God. We have to continue now to Perek Dalet. In the middle of this conversation, God continues, Im tashuv Yisraelu mashem, if indeed you are returning to God, Eli tashuv, return to me properly. Im tasir shikutzecha bepanai velo tanud, get rid of all your abominations. Get rid of your bad habits, and don't leave me again. Don't shake again. V'nishbata, if you swear properly, Chai Hashem bemet b'mishpat ubitztaka. If you talk about God and mention God's name and swear in His name, do it with truth, with righteousness, and with justice. And then vidbarchu vo goyim uvo yitalalu. Then you'll become a blessing for other nations, and they will find praise in you. Anyone who sees this last phrase here obviously remembers these exact same words when God first chooses Avram Avinu, the Nivruchu v'chal kol mishpot adama, that through you, God will bring blessing to all mankind. To appreciate the beauty of this last phrase, especially this idea of Nishbata Chai Hashem bemet b'mishpat u'bitztaka, the phrase of mishpat u'bitztaka, and then vidbarchu vo goyim ubo yitalalu, we have to return not only to the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, but even more so, in Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Yudchet, the famous Psukim, where Chumash explains to the reader why it was that he chose Avram Avinu. Before it continues in the story of the destruction of stone, in Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Yudchet, in Breshit, 18:18, Chumash tells the reader of Avram, Hoyo Yeh L'Goy Gadol V'Atzum, Avram is destined to become this great nation, V'Nivru Chuvo Kol Goy Haaretz, and through him there'll be blessing to all mankind. The exact same phrase that we have here. Bidbor Chuvo Goyim. And then we continue in Breshit and Pasuk Yotet. Ki dativ, because God has come to know him. L'man asher yitzaved banav v'et bito acharav shamru derech Hashem lasot tzedakah u'mishpat. L'man avi Hashem al Avram et asher diber alav. God is explaining, I had chosen him in order that Avram would command his children and they their children to follow the way of God, which is doing tzedek u'mishpat, to being just and upright. In order that what God said about Avram becoming a great nation would come true. And here this very same theme is surfacing now as Yirmiyahu is explaining God is bringing his people back. He wants his people to return. Even though they betrayed him. Even though they haven't been loyal. And logic would say, a woman like this who had betrayed her husband and followed other men, the original husband wouldn't want her back. But therefore we have the other analogy of a father wanting a child back, no matter how mischievous he may have been. But when we return, we want to return both at the level of a child to a parent, but also like the wife back to her husband. Why and when should God be willing to accept this repentance? Here, only if the repentance is complete, if it's true, if it comes together with an understanding of the very purpose of this chosenness. Therefore, Yirmiyahu has to conclude this nevuah with the hope that Am Yisrael return to emet, to truth, to mishpat u'tzedakah. If that's the attitude the people will have, then this return from exile can be ideal. And then we won't need to talk about the Aron anymore. We won't need to fight our enemies. We won't need God because he'll fight our battles for us. Instead, Yerushalayim, the capital city of this nation, will be such a model for other nations to learn from that it will be considered the throne of God, and all nations will come to it, as Yirmiyahu said back in Pasuk Yud Zayin.